for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms, and we serve in the city of joy. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
The Roman soldiers had inflicted on Jesus the worst form of punishment. Jesus, knowing his mission to earth, endured the excruciating pain and suffering inflicted on him. Pastor Cynthia so beautifully reminded us about that. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and elders, the Roman soldiers were standing near the cross with a sense of mission accomplished, waiting to see Jesus breathe his last. The Bible tells us that Jesus was on the cross for about 6 hours. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him, hurled insults at him by saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him." Leave alone what the unrepentant thief and passerbyers had to say. The Son of God had to endure the emotional taunting that went on even in the fading moments of his life on earth. Yet, Jesus' response to his executors and tormentors was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." The climax of Jesus' passion on the cross is seen when he felt his own Father turn his face away from him, which led him to cry out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus knew that the Father's turning his face away for that moment was as a result of the sins of the world that was laid on him. But it was too much for Jesus not to be in communion with his Father, even for a moment. But as we reflect back on the first Good Friday, the question that I ask myself this morning is, did Jesus know what was coming his way? Did he prepare himself and his disciples about what he was going to face? The Bible is very clear about Jesus knowing the plan of God for him and his own commitment to fulfill that plan of his Father. How do I know? Look at Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." But one of the most powerful and clearest way he prepared his disciples as to what he was about to face and do for the people of the world is when he instituted the Lord's Supper, or what we call as the Last Supper with his disciples. I just want to read one verse from that passage that is there in Mark chapter 14 and beginning from 12 onwards, where it describes to us. But let me read verse 12 for us. It says, "On the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, Where do you want us to go and make preparation for you to eat the Passover? I want us to take a moment to look at the historical background to this, friends. You see, the Last Supper took place a couple of days before the official Passover feast. But Jesus knew that he would die on the cross and would not rise from the dead until after the official Passover date. So he wanted to celebrate the feast early with his disciples. The Passover feast was a celebration of how God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt at the time of Moses. On the night of the Exodus, the Israelites applied the blood of the sacrificed lamb over the doors and on the doorposts. Then when the angel of death came to their door, it did not go in. It passed over their house. But as we read in the book of Exodus, but killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. See, friends, at the Jewish Passover, the important meal included the sacrificed lamb, bitter herbs, unleavened bread, and the cup of wine. The important reminder of this feast to the people of Israel was how God rescued and saved them from their slavery in Egypt. I want us to take a moment and look at the Last Supper instituted by Jesus Christ. Now Jesus took that ancient feast and transformed it into a meal with a new meaning when he instructed his disciples saying, take, eat and drink of this cup in remembrance of his death on their behalf. You see, friends, as Jesus meets with his disciple for this Last Supper, he can picture what is going to happen to him in the next 2 days. He was going to be crucified to the cross. Through pain and suffering of the cross, he was going to finally triumph over sin, Satan, and death. And long before he uttered that victory cry on the cross, it is finished, he had already embraced the cross and its power. The Last Supper that Jesus instituted reminds us that Jesus is the final and eternal sacrifice for sin. No further sacrifice is needed. Jesus is our Passover lamb, the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And that's why when we come to the table of the Lord, friends, we remember the deliverance that Jesus brought for mankind from sin and death when he died on the cross and he shed his blood. And that is why the bread that is laid up in this table this morning is intended to remind us of the body of Christ that was wounded for us. And by his stripes, every part of our body, soul, and spirit is healed, renewed, and restored. The wine is intended to remind us of the blood of Christ, which was shed to save us from our sin and death. The blood of Jesus Christ even has the power today, friends, to forgive us of all our sins, past, present, and future. You see, friends, the cross on which Jesus Christ was crucified was meant for another person named Barabbas, who had been found guilty of rebellion against Roman government and was sentenced to death. When Jesus Christ took his place, it meant that Barabbas was declared not guilty and set free. Barabbas represents each one of us this morning, friends. We are guilty of our rebellion against God and deserve to die. But Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, took our place on the cross that we might be freed from our sentence of death and set free. Christ paid a great price for our redemption. This morning, as I wrap up this message, I want us to look at the blessings of Jesus' finished work on the cross. First of all, there is access for us, friends. Jesus had made a way for all people to enter into a personal relationship with God. Secondly, there is acceptance. God receives any one of us as his son or his daughter when we put our faith in him and receive his forgiveness. Thirdly, there is authority. God delegates his authority to us to live a life of honor and glory for him. In a short while from now, we will be coming to the Lord's table. The question that may be very relevant in a gathering such as this is this: is there room for me at the Lord's table? Is there room for me at the Lord's table? And I would say, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, friends, I want to echo as loud as I want this morning, saying there is plenty of room at the Lord's table. But God expects from us one response. And the songwriter captures this response in these words and says it like this: oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. See, friends, room in our hearts for Jesus makes room available at his table. My prayer and our pastoral team's prayer this morning is, many today in our service would be able to say, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you can stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @AGCKOLKATA. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.